Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to the Tim Link Show, brought to you once a month by Simply NHN and Natural Horse Network, where horses have a voice. This is DC, your host. If you'd like to call in today, the number is 347-326-9161, or you can join us in the chat room for what should be a very interesting show. So let's get started.
Well, hello and welcome, Tim.
Well, thank you so much. Good to be back again.
Good to have you back. I can't believe a month has gone by already.
I know. Can you believe it? I already have people ask me about holidays and Christmas get-togethers, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, I've got several months for that. And I realize I don't.
We just had Halloween.
I know. It's just gone crazy, but that's okay. Another year almost done and getting ready to round the corner for 2009.
Well, before we get started here, I wanted to mention I'm having issues with the chat room. It's not wanting to open up, so hopefully you folks out there, you can just call in or email me if you have a question you can't get in the chat room. But I think we're going to start out the show today. We're going to talk about winter preparation. And I'm not really prepared, so I guess we'll just wing it here, Tim.
Well, we talked about, you know, obviously it's getting to be that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Here where I'm at, I'm in Georgia right now, so we're actually going through our Indian summer, which hopefully that's still politically correct to say nowadays, but our final warm spell before our cooler weather happens. So we're not unlike everyone in Colorado and around the Midwest and northern parts of the country. We don't get the snow and the cold and the ice as very often, but there's still preparation we have to do for our pets. But I know in your neck of the woods, there's definitely already a chill in the air and probably some snow on the ground by now.
Actually, no, maybe up in the mountains, but we've had a pretty Indian summer too. But the thing about Colorado is the temperature can change so quickly. One day it can be in the 80s and the next the 50s. So we have these drastic up and downs which wreak havoc with not only our pets but ourselves. So it's important to give your pets and horses extra nutrition this time of year to prepare them for that cold that's coming up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you'll start seeing changes in your animal's behavior around this time of year. They'll actually want, if it's a horse or an animal that spends a lot of time outside or all the time outside, you'll find it wanting to sort of bulk up a little bit to get a little bit more, a heartier nutrition and heartier diet in its system to prepare them for the cold weather's coming up. As well as, you know, there's preparation you need to do for the stables, or if you have outside dogs, make sure that they're their areas are they have places that are warm and dry to get into. Make sure their dog houses are stocked with straw and items to protect them from the wind as well.
Mm-hmm. I think straw is important because it doesn't freeze, whereas you put blankets in there, they'll freeze, and that's not really helping your dog if they're in an outside doghouse.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So there's things we have to do to sort of prepare for this. And I think that, you know, the biggest thing that we, as you had just mentioned, you know, the real fluctuations in the weather where you're wearing, you know, it's really warm during the days and perhaps, you know, today I've got my shorts on, but by the time the evening comes around, it's going to get kind of cold and nippy around here. And that cold can the wind can sneak up on you very quickly and cause a lot of problems for our pets as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think right now is the proper time. Make sure that they're getting the proper diets. Make sure they've got the nutrition and supplements in their diets. Make sure that their areas are weatherproofed and warm. Make sure it's blocking. You have proper proper material up to block that from the wind and from the chill that's coming in, making sure that the the roofs and everything are properly sealed and protected from any weather that may sneak in that way as well.
Yeah, so they don't go flying off.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I think it's very important for our our outdoor pets especially, and whether we're talking about as we said about the horses or dogs, or whether we're talking about cats, barn cats, feral cats. I know with our feral cat program that we have down here, we have to start taking special measures during the colder time to make sure that their food is properly dry and secure, and make sure that they have the proper bedding that they can get into if they choose to use the sleeping quarters that we build for them. And as we get colder and start to get our mittens out, we have to make sure we're keeping our animals in mind as well.
Yeah, there's always talk every year about whether or not to blanket your horses. And, it's kind of something where I think they're better off if you don't. It depends on the circumstances. Obviously, if they're older, if they're sick, if they are a show horse where you don't want, they're clipped, then you want to use a blanket. But don't jump in there too quickly and start blanketing them until they've got a full coat. Make sure that they, because that's what keeps them warm, is that coat. That and extra hay will keep them much warmer than a blanket will.
That's a very good point. And especially, I think, this time of year, when we're going through these fluctuations of weather, I know some people with their horses, they'll start to put the blankets and coverings on them and leave them on throughout the whole day, which is not a good thing,
mm-hmm.
because the weather could get kind of warm and sunny during the day, which would make it too warm for the horse, as well as provide sweating. And then when the temperatures do dip down, the blankets could be a little damp and the fur's damp, and that could add an extra chill to the horse. So just be cognizant, be careful. Realize it is, even though it's kind of warm right now, we're having this Indian summer, it's something that is got to start prepping for now to make sure that we're ready for those colder days ahead.
Yeah, and that you made a good point about taking them off if you're going to blanket. Take them off during the day so that nice warm sun can get on them.
Exactly.
Unless it's raining, then you might want to leave it on. But if it's a sunny day, take it off.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you guys have any issues with hoof care during this time of year when it's, not right now, but here within the next month when you'll have snow and ice on the ground and perhaps it gets a little bit damp out? Is there any
It depends on where you are, but I know I've always had issues with snow becoming impacted in their feet. And one thing you can do is spray WD-40 on their feet.
Really?
And it kind of keeps the snow from getting in there and sticking and packing in their hooves. Another issue is ice, of course, and that I still don't know what you can do. I used to go out and manually break up all the ice so my horses wouldn't slip, but that's not always practical.
Right. Well,
and
especially
I'm sure that there are horses. I'm sure
there's
a lot that do slip.
Yeah, if you got a lot of ground to cover and a lot of horses, you got to be that would be very time prohibitive. But I think the ice, especially impacting on their hoofs, is something you got to be very careful of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way with any livestock that you have out there, any of your pets or any of your animals you have out there. That's something that sneaks up on you before you know, because that can get into the crevices of their feet and their pads underneath of them and really cause some serious issues. So if you have the opportunity, keep an eye on that as well. Check them out on a daily basis if you can, or on a regular basis at least, to make sure there's no ice impacting on the animal's hoofs or foot, and making sure it's clear. Because that ice can obviously, it's very jagged at times, and it can build up and crystallize and cause some real damage.
Mm. That's a good point, because you don't think about that. But if you've got dogs outside, I imagine it would be just as important to check their feet.
Oh, yeah, definitely so. I mean, we have a couple of schnauzers here in our home, and they don't stay outside, but they go out frequently to get their exercise and use the restroom. And their type of coat especially, they're very short on the top, but very long fur on their skirt and on their pads. And snow attracts to that, very quickly forms these ice balls on their feet. And we had one occasion last year. We don't, you know, where I live here in Atlanta, we don't get very much snow. So we had a couple of times where we got an inch or two of snow. And of course, my schnauzers, my boys, they love going out and playing in the snow. But with the snow impacting on their, you know, attaching to their skirt and to the bottom of their pads, really started to form into these little ice balls. And I thought they were just having a great time out there, which they were, but their mom told me that I need to get them in to get that ice off of there. And we actually had to end up drawing a small warm bath in the bathtub and putting them in there in order to dislodge these little ice crystal balls that sort of formed on their skirts and on their pads. And had to let them soak for about 20 minutes just to get rid of the snow and the ice on the bottom of it, because it was really causing it, you know, it just in a short period of time was causing a little bit of irritation on their pads.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, it's like, gotta be careful.
We have a caller on the line, so should we go ahead and start taking calls, Tim?
Sure.
Did you have anything further to add to that?
No, that sounds great. Let's see who's on the phone.
Okay. Caller 719, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Thomas. Hi.
Tim, Thomas is the person with I think you have a Doberman.
Yes, a male.
And what was your dog's name?
Iago, with a J, but pronounced with a Y.
Okay, we'll give Tim a few minutes to bring up that picture.
Okay.
All right. So, how old is Iago?
He's five. Turned five in June.
That's beautiful. So, beautiful black Doberman. Boy, what a beautiful coat in this picture. For those of you, I don't know if everybody's had a chance to look at this picture or not, but it's a beautiful, just beautiful coat. So, what do we want to know about Iago?
He ran off from a kennel up in Denver on August the 23rd, and we live in Colorado Springs. I'm trying to find out what happened to him, where he is, and how I get him back.
Well, lost animals are, it takes a while to figure out everything that's going on with him. I mean, I think he has been found by someone. I see actually more than one person. I do see a family. So I think that he has been brought in somewhere. He seems seems healthy and strong. He was healthy and strong when he got loose. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So he still feels like he's in pretty good shape. So I think that adds, you know, that's a good thing. So feel good about that, that we want to figure out how to get him back home. I think it's one of those things, I do a lot of work with lost animals. It takes quite a bit of time because we have to not only connect with the animal and try to get descriptions of the things that are around them and their location and the people around them. But we also have to do a technique which we call map dowsing, which is using a map and a pendulum and those type of things. So I think for now, what I can tell you is that I see him with people. I see him alive and well. He seems to be as strong as ever. So, you know, lend comfort to that. And, you know, if it's something that I can help further with, you know, send me over an email and maybe we can set up a separate consultation to see if we can figure out exactly where he's at and see if we can get him come back home.
Sounds good.
Wonderful. All right.
And
thanks for sharing with us today.
Thomas, if you need Tim's email, just contact me and I'll put you in touch with him.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask you real quick, what efforts have you made to find your dog?
I put posters up, put ads in the Denver Post. I did a phone tree kind of thing where they call a bunch of people in the neighborhood.
Right, like Find Toto? Find,
yeah, exactly. That was exactly it. I didn't know if I could mention the name, but, yeah, it was a Find Toto thing.
Did he have a collar on?
He's got a chain collar but no tags.
Oh,
he has
okay.
Microchipped and tattooed in his right ear.
Okay.
Oh, okay, so he is microchipped and tattooed.
Yeah, if he gets turned into a shelter, they'll find him, but I also believe that someone's got him because I haven't had any sightings since the day he went missing, so
yeah.
I think someone's got him.
Yeah, I do believe that as well. One of the things you may want to do is he got loose. Was he at a vet's office at the time, or where was
he? No, he was at a place that I trained with, and he was actually there to be bred with a female Doberman, and that was the first time he had been away from me, first time I left him alone, and I guess wanting to be with me was more interesting than the female Doberman, so he climbed up the kennel.
Oh, goodness. Well, one of the things I'd probably recommend doing is contact the try to pull up a list from veterinarian offices in and around the area where the training school was.
Yeah, I've sent emails and followed up with a copy of the flyers I had made with the vets within the 25-mile radius.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, keep on top of that. They have a lot of different staff that comes in, that works at most veterinarian offices. So you want to stay on top of that. Send them. Don't feel like you're pestering them too much because it can never be too much. Sometimes, a particular front office person won't be working on a particular day, et cetera, and that may be the day that someone brings him in to get his shots or get him checked out. I do think it's an honest thing. I think it's somebody that thought it was, a very well-groomed, very nice-looking dog to be a stray, but had, was a stray and hadn't figured out that it belonged to you and how to get it back. So sooner or later, they're going to have to check him into a, veterinarian office just to get him checked out and make sure everything's okay.
Okay.
So stay on top of that as well.
That dowsing sounds like something I want to look into because I've had sightings of him going like every direction in the world, and then I kind of thought he might be heading towards home, towards the southwest, but you see him going east, I see him going south, so if we could get a little bit more a better direction of where he's where he's at or which way he headed, or that would definitely help me a lot.
Well, the map dowsing, it's been effective. I use this, I handle probably, I've handled hundreds of lost animal cases, everything from cats to dogs to birds and you name it. And the dowsing does narrow it down. Sometimes we're able to get to as close as a specific location, a house or a building. And other times maybe it's a general area maybe within a mile radius, but we can usually narrow it down. It's a time-consuming thing, but I think I'm one of the only few animal communicators out there, I think, that does the map dowsing and spends the amount of time it takes to help locate them. But I'd be glad to talk to you further about it and see what we can do.
It's like 75 miles between where I live and where he was lost at, so if you can get it narrowed down to a mile, that would be pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's a long haul. I mean, he could, I think someone has him because by now, if he was making his way back home, unless he ran into trouble, he would be home by now. And a typical dog can travel about 6 miles in a day. That's what they, some of the reports say. So, by now he would definitely know the direction back home.
Yeah, we made the trip once a week at least, sometimes twice a week. So.
Yeah, so he'd be very familiar with that. And I don't see him in any trouble at all. So I do think someone's, kindly taken him in and probably doesn't know any better and is just keeping him and taking care of him. So that's good news. Finding out where it's at, that would be the next step.
Okay, well, I'll be contacting you by email then.
Okay, sounds great. Look forward to it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for calling, Thomas, and we will be in touch with you after the show.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thomas.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's always a tricky one. Lost animals are, it's tough because there's so many things that go into play. There's, you got the animal's health, you got the determination of whether they have been taken in by someone or not.
Mm-hmm.
I've had lost animal cases that, sometimes they run off because they've been startled. Other times they can't get back because there's something preventing them from coming back, such as another predator or another person.
Mm.
We had one last week. A little dog ran out of the yard to go greet someone. little dog. He got distracted, went roaming around the neighborhood for about a day, and then decided to get on the railroad track because he was familiar with the railroad track near his house because he could hear the noises of the trains coming by. Well, instead of making his way back towards the house, he was going in the other direction. And he ended up going, we worked with that for about a week, and he was found about 8 miles away, and he was actually, the train track ends at a certain spot. It goes off into an industrial area, and there's a small bridge that's been out for a while, and he's sort of just hanging around there because the track ended. He didn't know where else to go, and he's just hanging around there.
Aww.
We found him, and it's about 8 miles away. It was a little pug mix, and got him back home. Little tired, little hungry, but other than that, he was fine.
That's good.
Yeah, it was a great story. So we handle a lot of these. We do a lot of these.
Well, we have another caller on the line, so hang in there, caller. I am about to take you, but I did want to mention real quick that I'm going to post follow-up to this. I have a running blog on the site where I have the radio show, so you can go there, and I'm going to post the pictures from today's show, and then we'll do some follow-up so you can follow along and see what happens with some of these pets, and hopefully we can help Thomas with his dog. I know I had a Doberman that disappeared, and I ended up finding her a couple months later, and she was right up the street, and they were just holding her until they saw a reward offered. And once they saw that reward offered, they brought her right home. If they had just let her go, she would have come right home, but maybe they thought they were doing the right thing. Who knows?
Well, I tell you, I tell people when they put their postings, when they put their signs up and hand out their flyers, be very specific but very vague with the content of information you put in there. So, for instance, I always recommend you put the word reward, big bold letters at the very top of it, but not the amount of the reward. Because we've actually had some people that, for instance, if there was a $500 reward, they hold on to the dog hoping it will go up to a $1,000 reward.
Yeah.
And so it's really, really peculiar. Yeah, it's very unfortunate. And then you put, the second thing you need to do is put a big color picture, the best picture, the clearest picture possible of your pet in the middle of the flyer or in the middle of the poster. And then at the bottom you put your phone number in big bold letters. Very simple, not too much detail where they would be able to hold on to the dog and claim it was theirs, which is very important, especially if you don't have a microchipped. If you don't have a microchip, then that could be very important because they know all the information about the pet, then there's no way the authorities will know it's yours. And second of all, if you're posting these signs, especially at strategic crossroads, stop signs, et cetera, make the posters weatherproof. But put them in those centralized locations, and as people pull up to that stop sign, they'll quickly look over to the poster before they pull away, and subconsciously it will sink into their mind that basic information. They'll remember seeing a picture of a lost dog in this case, and they'll remember it's a Doberman, and they'll remember the word reward. Perhaps they won't remember the phone number. Maybe they'll jot it down, maybe not, but at least it'll register in their mind, so when they do see your dog or cat or whatever it may be, it will register, and they'll know approximately where they saw that sign, and a lot of people will go back and check out that sign. And especially if it's in a place where they travel, on a daily basis, going back and forth to school or to work or what have you.
Very good points.
Yeah. We have quite a few of those, and in your case, that it's not a... Sad to say, but it's not uncommon that people will hold out for a bigger reward, or they'll, I have an article that came out in one of our newsletters a few months back that talks about protecting your animals and watching out for your animals. Right now there's a big, especially with dogs, there's a big crime, a big theft ring going on where people are taking dogs from people's homes or people's backyards. They're usually, purebred dogs are usually smaller dogs, but they can take just about any type of dog there is. And they do one of two things. They take the dog and either try to resell it to someone else, or they'll use it in a backyard breeding program to breed other other dogs so they can sell those off in their backyards. or in some cases they've sold them off to, you know, testing facilities. And the latter's becoming more and more rare because the testing facilities are being more cautious and they're not using dogs as much in their testing. But those three things are happening, and it's fairly common, fairly frequent. I've had several cases I've been called in on with that specific scenario coming into play, and at that point it's very, very difficult to get the dog back because they're protecting the dog, they're keeping it isolated. Perhaps they moved it miles and miles away, and it's quite a challenge to try to bring some of those to justice and get the dog back.
I can imagine. A lot of sick people out there.
Well, it is. People are there. It's just very desperate. I think people are desperate, and they do crazy things. So just be careful. Keep an eye on your dogs and your kitties and stuff, especially your smaller animals. Protect them like you would your child.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and take our next caller. They've been very patiently waiting. You ready, Tim?
I'm ready.
Okay. Caller 717, you're on the air.
Hello,
who is this?
This is Amy. I didn't get a caller number when I called in.
Oh, okay, Amy. Hi. Thanks
Hi.
For calling.
Great.
And
hi,
you,
Amy.
Hi.
You have, your horse is Hooch, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, we'll give Tim a minute to bring that up.
Okay.
Thanks for waiting.
No problem.
We get carried away sometimes, but it's all good, important information to get out there. So
that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Beautiful. Tell us a little bit about Hooch.
Well, I've had him for a little over a year. He's about 12 years old, and in August I had to move him from a place in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to where my fiancé lives in northwestern Connecticut. And I guess what I really want to know, is he happy where he is? Is he doing all right? And if there's anything that he needs to let me know.
Okay. how often do you get to see him?
Oh, I see him almost every day.
Almost every day? Okay. Well, that's a good thing. Yeah. Well, had you explained to him why he was moving and that he's going to be staying there now permanently?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So what he's telling me is he's okay with it. He honestly likes the other place better.
Mm-hmm.
But he's okay with it. But he's got a lot of questions about, you know, is this where he's going to be staying? Is it, you know, what's the new setup? What's the new scenario? The impression he's giving me is more like he's thinking this is just a temporary type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so do you plan on keeping him there full-time from this point on?
Well, I think things are pretty up in the air. I'm from Pennsylvania. My fiancé teaches up here, but he's also from Pennsylvania, so there is the possibility we'll go back to the original place, which had huge pastures and was just a wonderful, wonderful environment. And so it was very difficult to move him up here and have him in a situation where he's more being turned out, you know, in a pen or a paddock or whatever. He gets lots of turnout, but he doesn't get enough time to kind of roam around and, you know, what he was used to before. So so I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I can say, well, yeah, we're definitely going to stay here or whether we're going to go back, you know.
You're right. Your fiancé looking for a new teaching job in Pennsylvania?
Well, he is, yes. So, but he also really, really likes it here.
So. Uh-oh. Well, for what it's worth, I see you guys going back.
Okay.
I see you going. Yeah, I see you going back. I think there's an opportunity that's going to pop up for him sometime, probably the early part of next year. So, be telling him probably to be expecting some opportunities. He'll have to make some decisions on. But so just FYI on that one.
Okay.
But I think in the meantime, I would explain that I'm a big proponent of talking to your pets, talking to your animals, just like you would anyone else, talking to your kids, whoever it may be. You tell them exactly what the situation is, what you need from them, what do they need to do to help you out, and why in the world is this going to be a good thing for them? And that's the most important thing. Why in the heck should I do this? So I would explain, you know, that this is going to be your home for now. I know it's different than the other place, but you know, at least I'll get to see you all the time, and you'll be here, and you're well taken care of. Mm-hmm. What I need you to do is try to enjoy it, be comfortable here, you know, get along well with the others, whatever you're wanting to him to accomplish while he's there. And why is it a good thing? Well, it gets you closer to us. It allows you, you know, to be closer to where we're at, to be closer to what's your fiancé's name?
His name is Nick.
Nick?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you'd be closer to. Okay, so that, you know, tell him that's how I would explain to him, and you can talk to your horse just like that. You talk to him verbally, or you can talk to him what I call project to them or visualize the whole thing. You know, visualize them being at the new place and being happy there and doing well and why, you know, why in the world would they want to stay there? And here's the happy place. So you're doing a lot of visualization as well.
Okay.
So I would use those two methods because right now he's got a lot of he's wanting to know when he's going back. He likes the other place better, and he's sort of, you know, unsure right now. If it's not causing really any stress, but it's, you know, he's kind of thinking this is okay. In any day, you guys are going to pack it up and head back.
Yeah. Can I ask you one other thing?
Sure.
Okay. Recently, I've started working on the ground with him. And we've been sort of doing some energy work where he's off lead, and it's very, I'm not clear exactly what I'm doing, except that we're just kind of playing with each other, like in the arena and stuff, and he's really mimicking me a lot, and it's really remarkable to me how connected he wants to be and how much he wants to, like, run around, but then he hooks up with me immediately. And I just wondered, like, does he know what's going on, or does he think this is really weird?
No, he knows exactly what's going on. And the cool thing about it is, you know, he's a mirror of you. Our pets are mirrors of us, and so he's a mirror of you. And he wants to please you. He wants to be close to you, and he wants to absorb your energy and respond accordingly. So I tell people that, you know, how you feel, how you act, and how your life's going impacts your animals tremendously. So as they're bringing love and bringing calmness and bringing the positive things to our life, we have to do the same. So, you know, when we're in a good place and we're feeling good and we're happy about things and we're letting our positive energy shine through, they're going to act positively. Their life and their health and everything around them is going to be positive. If we're worried and we're stressed about it, if we are worrying what's going to go wrong today, CC, hint, hint, that impacts our animals as well. And so he'll pick up on that as well. So I think that's positive. And then any energy work, you know, whether you're giving it to him indirectly by being positive and doing, you know, working with him in the arena in a positive way and, you know, feeling good about everything, or whether you're doing specific energy modalities, things like Reiki and T-Touch and some of the other things, even if you're just a novice at it, some of those healing touch for animals, those type of energy modalities, even if you learn the basics, will definitely come back positively to your animals as well.
Great. All right. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Amy.
Sorry, Cece, I had to throw a little jab in there for you.
That's okay. I picked up on that. I always do. You know, I always apply it to myself and think, I'm guilty.
There you go. That's all right. The important thing is you recognize it and you correct it, and then life's wonderful.
Exactly. That's the first step, is acknowledging.
Acknowledging, exactly. And then just put the steps forward and feel positive about everything.
She sure is a beautiful horse, doesn't she?
Gorgeous, just gorgeous. Yeah.
Well, let's move on to Kristen. I think Kristen was on our last show, too. She would love to be able to call in, but she has to work, and they won't let her call in from work, which isn't very nice. But anyway,
this is
the next best thing.
That's right.
She sent in a couple pictures here.
And how do we have those listed?
She's the third one. She's got Cody and Wayne.
Okay. Well, let's see what Cody's up to, first of all. Does she have any specific questions for him?
The specific question for Cody is, how is Cody doing since the last show? Is she feeling better? Is the right front hurting less, or is there no improvement at all? She says she seems to be doing better, her disposition has improved, but it's still hard to tell if she's hurting or not, or how much.
Yeah, she feels much better, I think Cody feels much better than the last show. I think that right leg is going to be, I think it's better, but I think it's going to be an issue. I think it's going to be one of those things that flares up from time to time. So, you know, just keep an eye on it. Continue to feed the supplements, you know, do the glucosamine, chondroitin, MGM, and those wonderful things to get a good supplement that will help protect the joints and the bone structure. I think, it will flare up from time to time, so you just have to be cognizant of it. But definitely, I think there's a better improvement there. And I'm wondering also about maybe get an email out to me or to Cece about the stomach. I want to make sure that there hasn't been any irritation there. I think overall it's okay, but it just feels a little irritated. It could be just something that's going on today.
Mm. She says she's been doing stretches, and she thinks that's helping. She's not sure. She's trying to pinpoint the area, whether it's coming from the shoulder, coming from the knee, coming from the hoof. Is there any way you can pinpoint it a little more for her?
Yeah, well, I tell you, it feels like from the knee up to the shoulder, and I would focus more on the shoulder right now. But it feels like that I don't know if it's the ligament that goes up through there or a muscle that's going up through there, but from the knee up to the shoulder, is that area is still a little tender. It's much better than what it was, but it's a little tender. So I think, you know, the stretching is good. Body rubs is good. It may be something where, you know, if you have someone in the area that does energy healing that we just talked about, some
mm-hmm.
you know, different types of energy healing, that would be good. Of course, I can do that remotely as well. With being a Reiki master, I can do Reiki energy remotely. So I'd be glad to help out.
You know, I get a sense that would really help Cody. I have from the beginning that would really help.
Yeah,
so Kristen,
I think it
when you listen to this, go for it.
Yeah, definitely so. I mean, it does help. We've done this, and we've done, you know, using Reiki remotely is done as well as using it hands-on or actually close to the animal. And energy work, it does some amazing things. It's, you know, it's always hard to explain because you can't really can't physically touch it. But you can definitely feel it, whether you're human or you're an animal. You can definitely feel that energy going in and focusing on those areas where the blockages are, clearing out those chakras, focusing in on the muscle and the skeletal areas and clearing some of that out. It's something, you know, it takes a little bit of time based on how much distress there is in that area and how much blockage is there. Sometimes it takes a few treatments, but it's done. Sometimes it works immediately. They'll definitely feel the positive impacts right from the beginning. So, yeah, I'll be glad to help out with that as well. Or if you have a practitioner nearby that does Reiki or does T-Touch, Healing Touch for Animals, some of those modalities are very effective.
Yeah, I know it's a hard concept for some people to understand that how can you heal if it's not something where you're directly touching the animal, but try it.
Yeah.
Just give it a try.
Exactly. Well, it's sort of like, you know, when we, there's several ways to explain it, but in reality, you know, we have energy flows through us, flows, you know, up and down our body all the time and out of our head. And when we start to feel off, when we're not feeling well, if there's a certain part of our body that's not feeling well, it's because there is a blockage there. There's something going on within our core system that's blocking that energy from flowing through, and it builds up into a certain area where it'll cause some distress. And the key thing about energy is it works on clearing out that area, getting yourself centered and cleared out. And it's not a manipulation, physical manipulation like a chiropractic would be, and it's not like a massage where you're massaging out area. Both of those are very effective and very positive things to do, but it works in a different manner, just to clear out those chakras within the animal, so that energy can flow through smoothly.
But isn't that so that the body can heal itself?
The body will heal. Yes, the body will always heal itself if you clear yourself and you center yourself and you get that energy flowing through smoothly. It will always heal itself. It's just a matter of doing that. And, typically, us humans, we're sort of been trained. These energy modalities, energy healing has been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, long before conventional medicine has been put into play. But we're taught in our generation, we don't focus on that. We focus on what can we do to heal ourselves and do it quickly. And
right.
A lot of times we do, sort of a Band-Aid approach. We'll, if we have a headache, we'll go grab an aspirin. If we've got a sprained, ankle or twist in our leg, we'll grab some medication for that as well. And to me, that may solve it. It may solve it temporarily, but it never tends to heal the whole thing. There's a reason why that area of your body is continually causing you problems. And until you get to the root of that issue and clear it out and let the energy flow through, you'll never permanently solve that issue. And that's the same thing with our pets. The challenge is we have to help them recognize it. We have to listen to them, listen to their bodies, and help them recognize it, and then put forth the best measures we know to help that. And energy healing is definitely a good way to go.
And can that be applied to, say, an old injury? If a horse has an old injury and they have problems from that?
Oh, yes.
Can it work on
definitely.
That as well? Okay.
Yes, it'll definitely work on that. And, it gets down into the core of their body and the core of their system, and works on clearing that out to alleviate those core injuries. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be some issues with the structure of the physical body, but it will flow through better and cause them less or no pain or irritation in that area.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Wayne then. Do you have a picture of Wayne up? He's the handsome guy.
Yes. All right. So what's going
really
on with Wayne?
He really is a handsome horse. She says, how is Wayne doing, especially on his bad knee? I know his left knee is bothersome. He says, good days and bad days. She's doing a good job, or is she doing a good job of keeping him comfortable? And is he happy where I'm boarding him?
Well, he seems to be pretty happy. He's maybe in trouble here. I'm curious to find out how much time spent with him, because he immediately went to more time. So he's going to see you more often. So even if you're seeing him every day, it's probably not enough. He seems to be really loving the attention. So, the more time, the better.
No, this is a guy, she had his knee x-rayed, which showed quite a bit of calcification. He was kept in a stall without exercise for a long time at a place she was boarding him. And she's done an amazing job with this horse, by moving him to better places where he has pasture, he has a lot of movement, and the improvement is amazing. But she wants to know, she says, he seems really happy and comfortable, but is he really?
Well, I think he is much happier here. I do think that. I think that this is a good place for him. Probably could use a little bit more attention. He seems to really love that intention, getting attention and dedicated time, especially with you. I would say that keep an eye on those areas, his knee and everything. If it feels fine at the moment, as fine as it can be, it's definitely going to cause him problems, because it's pretty, it's had a lot of stress over the years. But I think the things you're putting in, that she's put in place is definitely the right things to do.
Yeah, she's using everything that's possible, glucosamine, MSM. She tries everything for her horses. I suggested she might want to go with something topical, something with arnica in it that would be a big pain relief.
Yeah. I don't think that anything you can do to help that area would be a positive thing. We talked, you know, as we talked about energy work can definitely help that area as well.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure it's, you know, stretched out and, get, of course, giving him plenty of room as you have with the new setup to move around is a good thing as well. So, yeah, I think the more you can do to it, the better it's going to be. But sadly, all the right measures are definitely put into place, and he's, you know, beautiful, beautiful boy.
It could be. She has a couple of other horses, so maybe, Kristen, you just need to spend a little more time with Wayne and less with the other two. Maybe he's a little jealous or something.
Yeah, well, he loves, I know she probably spends her fair amount of time with him, but I think always wants more. So more
typical
more
male.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Always wanting more.
All right, we've got less than 15 minutes left. Wow, this went fast. So we're going to move on to, I think his name is Tice.
Okay.
Looks like a big horse, man. He's gorgeous.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Is that a Lipizzan? Ferris friend.
Wow, beautiful. Is that a Lipizzan or?
You know, I don't know. I'm thinking more of possibly Frisian.
Frisian, yeah.
With those feathers, but I'll have to ask him. But he looks like he's fairly big, probably at least 17 hands. Big guy.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Wow. Very pretty.
All right, this is what they say about him. He's very afraid. Why? He's moody. Why? Health. He's my student Nancy's horse. This is Farrah speaking. And he has some anxiety issues, but is also very dominant and sour sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one question I would have is, how many people has he been with? Has he been owned by several people over the years, or has she owned him from the beginning? That would be one question I have, because it seems like he's been around a lot. And I don't know if that's been because he's changed hands quite a bit or if he has changed locations on a regular basis. I don't
okay.
know, but he's shown me he's moved around quite a bit. He's tired. Hopefully where he's at is where he's going to be for a while, because he's tired of that. I think that's one of the things that sort of made him grumpy. Wow. Yeah, he's kind of boisterous about it. He said, I'm curious, do you know if she shows him? Does she compete with him?
I think so, but I don't have a lot of information. I think she does. Based on the picture, I would say yes.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, he keeps giving me words like no shows. So he seems to be a little grumpy about having to perform and being a show, you know, horse, maybe moving around a little bit. So I think it's, you know, it's one of those things where we're going to have to, you know, do some talking to him, making sure he understands why, you know, why it's a good thing for him to show, and also build his confidence that if he's going to be at that stable for a while, to let him know that, and let him know that, you know, his perhaps his time that he's moved around is not going to affect him anymore. And yeah, try to. And I think overall, I think he's just going to be one of those horses we're going to have to sort of respect. If he wants a space, we're going to have to try to, you know, when we don't need him, to help us out, to respect that.
And what are some good reasons to tell a horse why they show? To me, the only thing, well, I could think of a couple that horses need a job. You know, they need something to do.
Right.
But honestly, what are some good things you could tell your horse on why it's good to show?
Well, the biggest thing is you know, as you form a bond with them, as you know, form that love connection, they're confident that they're going to be with you and stay with you. The most important thing that they'll want to do is please you. So you let them know that will make you very happy. So though showing him, you know, Tyson may not be your favorite thing to do, and I'm sorry about that, but I need you to, allow me to show you because you're so handsome and so beautiful, and this makes me very happy. So you're talking to him about that. They want to please you. They want to make you happy. If you know that connection is there, so they do want to make you happy. So that's a big part of it. I think with him, you also want to build up his pride, because he seems very proud to be a very proud horse, but yet he's kind of gets cantankerous at times. But you want to let him know, that he, you'd like to be able to work with him and show him off, and for him to teach the other ones how to do things the right way, because you know he's so smart. And so a teaching, play on his, his little bit of his personality, and let him know that he can be a great teacher for others to be able to observe what he does. I think that's a very positive thing to do as well.
Very good.
But, yeah, do some explaining to him. I think he'll come around a little bit, but there's some things that are making him a little bit sour at the moment. I think maybe over time we can work on those to get his personality to at least give him a better understanding of what's expected of him. But I think what you said about jobs, all animals and horses are no different than in any other animal. They all need jobs. They need things to do. They need expectations that you have of them. And as long as they understand what those jobs are and why they need to do them, then they're usually glad to do them.
Exactly. It's so much better than being a pasture potato.
That's right. No challenges there, no jobs. That's right. That's right.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Nancy sends us for feedback. Curious to see what the history is with this horse, if he's moved around a lot.
Definitely so. And
it's been pretty accurate, Tim, with your readings on most of these animals.
Well, good. Well, I just give you what the horses are giving me. So that's what that's how this whole thing works. We ask them the questions, and they give me answers, and hopefully we're able to come to some better understanding of how we can continue to get along the best we can and love each other. So, yes, definitely keep those, answer the postings on pictures are great, and answer those questions and send questions and replies back, and especially if we're going to be talking to people next month, then we'll know, we can progress the conversations further.
Yeah, we love the feedback, so send it in.
Yes, definitely.
And so on our remaining 5 minutes, I wanted to just bring up a point back on these lost pets, that if you are somebody who finds an animal, it's probably best to take it to your local shelter. A lot of people probably think, oh, I don't want to do that, it'll be put to sleep. But that's probably the best way to find its owner, don't you think, Tim?
Well, there's a few things you can do. Obviously, you don't necessarily, if you're able to take care of the animal, then, by all means, take care of the animal, but let people know about it. So contact your local county shelters, give them flyers and pictures of the animal, and let them know that you have it in your possession. Contact your local rescue groups. Now, keep in mind that the rescue groups are slightly different. There are usually county-run shelters that, as we call them, animal control, that are required to collect stray animals and keep them for a certain period of time. Rescue organizations like my group, the Humane Society of Forsyth County, we're a no-kill shelter. So our goal and focus is to take animals that in there, either found or no longer wanted or aren't able to be taken care of, and then we take them into our shelter and foster programs until the time comes when we can't, we can adopt them out or find their owner. But both of those are great things to do, as well as contact your local veterinarian offices. There's a good chance if you found a pet, an animal in your neighborhood, there's a good chance that it belongs to someone in that general neighborhood. Usually they don't stray extremely far from home unless there's been a long period of time that's elapsed, or you know, there's been some major distress in the household that's causing them to want to be away from that energy. So mm-hmm. if you contact your shelters, your rescue organizations, and your local veterinarian offices and let them know that you've got the animal, I think those are all great things to do. I think that's critical also for I see this more with cats than I do with dogs and other animals that get loose. People have the assumption that if a cat's out there that it's just, you know, a normal house cat's gotten away from home, or it's a stray, or it's a feral cat. And that's not always the case. A lot of times they are animals that have, you know, maybe indoor cats that have, you know, sort of been, somebody left the door out open too long, or they jumped out the window, or whatever it may be, and then they can't figure out how to get back because they're just not used to being away from home. So, you know, collect those animals up as well and take care of them until we can find out where they're located. And if they're, you know, microchipped, obviously you can take them in and they can get a get a scan of the microchip and help track down who the, who the original owner is.
I have a question real quick here. I'm not sure you'd have the answer, but I'm just curious why most of the shelters that are around don't have facilities for horses. Why is it just dogs and cats they'll take in? Or sometimes rabbits, I know they'll have. Do you know that?
Yeah, well, the local county shelters, the animal control, you know, they focus on, their whole purpose is to take animals that are on the streets that are potentially causing problems in the neighborhoods, you know, whether it's through disease or rummaging through trash or, you know, whatever it may be.
Running in traffic.
Running in traffic, a threat of a dog bite, those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're mandated by the county based on whatever the county's ordinances are to bring in those animals and, you know, take care of them, try to find them and adopt, you know, get them adopted out but and find their owners. But in reality, just get them off the streets. The rescue organizations, they tend to have whatever their focus is. Our group focuses on cats and dogs. I know other ones that focus just on cats, some on dogs. We've got another group that we work with here in Cumming, Georgia, where I live, that's Save the Horses, SaveTheHorses.org, and they focus on bringing in unwanted horses or horses that have had abuse or have been neglected, older horses, horses that are, you know, they have some physical challenges. And they work on getting those horses healthy and either keeping them there in pasture, or they sometimes will adopt them out. They also run children's programs and various programs to educate people as they come out to the farms. But I think there are more groups out there. You just have to do your research. I think the nice thing today is there's such an awareness of how important our animals are to us that there's usually a group that will be out there to help you out. Here in North Georgia, where I live, we've got not only our more than our fair share of shelters, rescue groups that work with dogs and cats, but we've got just within a 5-mile radius of where I'm at, we've got a horse rescue, we've got a kangaroo conservation, we've got a llama yet rescue, we've got a hamster rescue. Rabbit rescue.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they've done a good job in bringing in the animals that they, you know, that they have a heart connection with and maybe have some education in and how to take care of them. One of the cool things I always recommend people doing if they're looking for a pet, bring a new pet into their house, whatever it may be, go to a website called petfinder.com.
Mm-hmm.
Petfinder.com, you can go in there and you can type in your zip code, your state, what type of animal you want, whatever the criteria you're wanting to narrow it down to, and it will tell you county shelters and rescue organizations that have those animals. It'll show you a picture of the animal. It will show you a description of it and where you can go to call about it and to see the animal. And they've got everything on there from dogs to cats to horses to iguanas to snakes to you name it. It's just the whole gambit. So I always encourage people to take a look there as a first resort, because then you can bring home an animal that is a wonderful pet and wonderful companion, but doesn't have a forever home. So that's a great site to look at.
Yeah, I encourage that, and I encourage everyone to support their local rescues in any way they can, because they're doing a great job.
Yeah, definitely so. And keep in mind, it's not, you know, obviously money and food is always critical, but just your time. Time socializing with animals, time helping take care of them, fundraising. There's so many ways you can get involved. I definitely encourage people to get involved in a local rescue.
Exactly. I don't have a lot of money, but I do donate a lot of time to local rescues, and it's very rewarding.
Yes, it is. It is. And, you know, we have our organization, we have people that come and volunteer to just feel good about things and help the animals out. And others bring their talents, whether it's a, you know, personal talent for fundraising, or if you're in the IT field, you know, if you're in the computer field, then we are always in need of people to help us better our websites and do postings on Pet Finder and come up with better IT systems. And so even take your technical skills or, both your personal skills and your professional skills, and the rescue groups would love to have you on board.
Good point. Well, folks, we're out of time. Boy, it went really fast today, as usual.
Yeah.
And I thank those that called in. That's great. We love to have people call in. And if you missed it today, well, then we'll see you on next month's show.
Yeah, first Friday of every month, 3 o'clock Eastern, we'll be on here. And one last plug, if you want to know more about me and what's going on with me and my consultations and my books and my TV and you name it, go to wagging-tales.com. That's wagging-tales.com. And just remember, every animal has a tail.
Oh, Tim, you know, I really did want to discuss your book today, and we ran out of time, so let's do that next show for sure.
Yeah, we got an exciting new book coming out.
Yeah.
We've made some progress. It's actually going to be out nationally, so tune in to the December show, December 5th, I believe it is, and we'll talk a little bit about the book, and it's a fun book, and we'll tell you more about when it'll be out and how to get a copy of it.
Awesome. We'll do that right at the beginning.
Sounds great.
Okay. Thank you so much, Tim.
All right. Thank you. Great to talk to you again, and everybody have a great, great month, and we'll talk to you in December.
Yeah. Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone, for listening today. Feel free to send us your comments and suggestions. We welcome them. And visit our websites at naturalhorsenetwork.com and simply nhn.com for all your natural horse care needs.